A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in time
concentrate on
space.
Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 183. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and today we are continuing our discussion about The Guardians. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, The Guardians, 13-part television series from 1971 on the ITV network. Although, as we mentioned in our last episode, to all the areas apart from Northern Ireland, was in a 60-minute time slot, although with the adverts removed, I think the episodes run about 50 minutes long or so, Brian.
Something like that, yes.
And it examines a future Britain 10 years ahead of the show, which is controlled by a fascist military organisation known as the Guardians. Interesting stuff, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely a dystopian show that reflects some of the things that were going on at the time it was made, and definitely reflects a lot of the fears from the time and the ideas of fascism and communism and so on. So we should talk about some of the issues that this dealt with, because it dealt with a lot of issues and dealt with them in lots of detail. And certainly the idea of who runs the government and whether the prime minister and elected officials and so on are really in control, or whether people in the back room are in control, those issues and those questions were quite central and quite strong in a lot of this show. And we also had ideas about what measures and what actions are acceptable in order to maintain law and order. And what is it acceptable for the Guardians to do, and what is it acceptable for the government to do?
Yes, and we do get these fascinating discussions about some of this in the episodes. You know, as we'll talk about, it is quite a show for dialogue conversations, and they cover some interesting stuff. So, for instance, they will mention ID cards. There was the idea of ID cards being discussed way back in the early 70s, and of course an idea that's been returned to the minds of British government in the 2000s. But things get even worse than that. We know that the Guardians maintain some form of basically their concentration camps, where the inmates are kept subdued with drugs to keep them quiet and placid. We also know they have specialist hospitals and psychiatric units where they also keep various suspects drugged. And that's discussed in a few episodes and is quite, you know, interesting and in a way scary stuff. And there's at least one episode where the whole episode is about the death penalty and the fact that the death penalty is back in Britain and is being used by the Guardians in a particular fashion, which is also quite chilling, Brian.
Yes, they have sort of public or semi-public executions where it's made quite clear to the public how and when people are being executed. So they're interesting, some big issues and talking about some very extreme actions. And then on the other hand, you have an intense discussion at one point about censorship and what type of censorship is acceptable. How much censorship is acceptable? Is it acceptable at all? And the details of that discussion are quite well sketched out. It's quite interesting. We also have this resistance group that uses the name Quarmby, and we get into the ideas about whether they are in the right or whether they're not, and what actions are acceptable for them to carry out in order to further their cause. So lots of different issues of different sorts coming into this.
Yes, the Quarmby movement is interesting because certainly when it's first mentioned, I think we all assume that it's one man. But we learn as it goes on that it's actually a name that the resistance just use, and that this name keeps cropping up as the show progresses, Brian, and the Guardians try to deal with this resistance movement.
That's right. The name Quarmby is used in different ways at different times. And we also get a number of different interesting guest characters showing up in here. We have a particularly interesting one, I thought, early episode with Richard Herndl, and that is the big censorship discussion, and that's quite interesting. Richard Herndl, of course, being well known for playing the First Doctor in The Five Doctors on Doctor Who. So he was the actor who recreated William Hartnell's First Doctor. So it's interesting to see him coming up in this as well.
Yes, and of course it's fascinating in a way to play this geek game, which is, I suppose, a side note away from the serious nature of the Guardians. But you do have this long discussion between a version of the First Doctor and the White Guardian, in a way. Because him and the Prime Minister, played by Cyril Luckham, do an awful lot of talking in that episode, Brian.
Yes, that's right. The majority of that episode, I think, was a discussion between these two men about government and censorship and the media. And it was fascinating. I found it quite gripping, actually.
Yes, very interesting. We'll talk in a moment about the amount of time this show was able to devote to these big debates and the moral dilemmas that the government is facing.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll mention a couple of the other guest actors who crop up in episodes. Another Doctor Who link, a very recognisable actor called Graham Crowden, who I know was one of the actors that was considered to take over as the Fourth Doctor before they cast Tom Baker, I believe. And he shows up in an episode called The Dirtiest Man in the World, playing a strange sort of intellectual tramp. And then another Doctor Who actor, Peter Barkworth, who we remember from The Ice Warriors, I think he's in that same episode. So that's quite good value.
And then we get Richard Vernon, who I, of course, remember as Slarty Bartfast from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. He shows up in this as well. And very often with these different actors coming into it, this is a very dialogue-heavy show. A lot of it is made up of conversations between two people, different pairs of people at different times, but we have a lot of time spent by hearing two people discuss a situation or an issue or something that is going on. And those discussions can be very good, and there's a lot of very good dialogue in this.
Yes, it is. This is, you know, quite clearly more a show about dialogue and discussion and debate than it is an action show. The moments of action are fairly brief. It's a show about ideas, so, you know, it may not be for everybody, but certainly the ideas being discussed and some of the actors charged with leading these discussions, it's quite fascinating stuff at times.
Yes, absolutely.
I can't think how you can work with him. Well, it's all in the line of duty.
Once upon a time, you'd have refused.
Refused what?
To work with a man like Norman. You'd have resigned.
I decided I was too old for such theatrical gestures.
No, I'm talking about principles, Tim. Are you too old for them as well?
I vote we avoid cheap insults if we can.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Tim, we are supposed to be old friends.
That gives you the right to be insulting and aggressive, does it?
I'm only speaking the truth.
As you see it.
When we were at Cambridge.
Oh, world was a different place.
I admired you then because you really were what we all pretended to be, compassionate and politically honourable.
I'm flattered.
Which makes it all the sadder.
What does?
Your acceptance of an unpleasant and possibly dangerous situation.
And you're being awfully melodramatic.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yes, you are, believe me.
Now, there's no point in looking back to those rosy days of undergrad politics. There's a fairly wide gulf between theory and practice, you know.
That's right, shrug it off.
So let's talk a bit about other shows that relate to this and some of the dystopian visions of Britain that we've seen on television, because there have been a number of them with different interesting things to say.
Absolutely. And it is what brings The Guardians, I think, into the realm of speculative fiction, is this idea of a dystopia, a sort of what if Britain became a fascist state. And of course, the dystopia is a great way for the writer to play that what-if game, and to reflect something about the present day, but also to reflect, I think, on the fears of the present day, the things that concern us, some of these ideas that concern people about politics in the early part of the 70s. And of course, it's been explored in several other shows, some of them with a much more science fiction sort of bent than this show. Things we've talked about before, I suppose the obvious example is Blake 7, where we have that terrific, almost Stalinist Federation and the terrible things that they're doing, particularly in the first episode, and the way that they're attempting to sort of control Blake in particular. So, you know, that's a powerful part of that story, and of course a great show, Brian.
Yes, and that was that setup with the idea of show trials for trumped up charges that were different from what Blake had actually done, and shipping people off to a prison planet and so on. So you definitely had those kinds of ideas in there.
Yes, and you know, a great show from British history. Another show that we've talked about much more recently, but again, flashed forward to the future and gave us a dystopian version of Britain, and that was Cold Lazarus, which formed that sort of Dennis Potter double bill that we did with Karaoke, which of course directly set up Cold Lazarus. And again, I think some of the imagery of, you know, jackboots and helmets we saw there as well.
Yes, that's right. And then going back to a 1960s show, there was Year of the Sex Olympics, which looked at a sort of dystopia based around dependence on television and people doing sort of very little except for watching television, and the makers of television sort of controlling people's lives because everything was around what they were being fed on television, which had some interesting things in it. And of course, one of the things that it's known for now is that one of these television predictions it made, and there were a number of them, but one of them essentially became true decades later. Big Brother was very similar to what was depicted in the late 1960s in Year of the Sex Olympics.
Yes, a remarkable bit of prophetic writing by Nigel Neal there.
Yes, absolutely. And of course, other predictions that did not become true, or at least did not become so clearly reflected in what was actually done later on. More recently, in 2008, there was The Last Enemy, which dealt with a version of the world that was not too different from the present day, but had a computer system that was tracking everyone's motions and controlling everyone's motions and who was allowed to go where and into what building and who could buy things and ID card issues. Again, sort of a dystopian vision of how things could be, but reflecting very much the concerns of the day.
Yes, absolutely. A fascinating show, particularly, I think, if you consider it in the light of The Guardians. There is some similarities between the two shows, and The Last Enemy is a sort of 2000s version in a way of reflecting those current concerns. So yeah, an interesting one, interesting parallel to draw, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's interesting. I don't think it goes as far in 2008 into this dystopian world, how extreme it is, as they did in the Guardians. They were sort of doing slightly different things there, but there were some similarities, that's true. Quite a different dystopian vision was what we had in the 1980 series Noah's Castle, which was very much looking at the concerns of the day of the late 1970s with things like strikes and shortages and so on. And it took the idea of food shortages and supply availability and things very closely related to that, and took it to an extreme where the lack of food and supplies was sort of making society grind to a halt. And it did some interesting things there as well.
Okay. All fascinating stuff. And just one other fascinating show, again from the late 70s, and it's a show that we know our listeners keep suggesting to us, and that was an Edward Woodward show called 1990, which was again a portrayal of a dystopian version of Britain. And the great problem with that show, unfortunately, Brian, is that it's never been released on DVD or video. And as we do try to stick to stuff that has been released, we can't get to watch it at the moment or to discuss it. But we know that people do keep mentioning it to us, and I think they're as keen for a DVD release as we are.
Yes, it does sound like an interesting show. I've not seen it. But yeah, hopefully that will get a DVD release. And I know we have covered some shows that are not on DVD, but for the most part, we do try to stick to ones that are available on DVD. But we have this interesting variety of dystopian shows, and there are others, of course. Obviously, you have things like 1984 and the 1954 version we covered. But there are a lot of interesting different things that have been done here. So if you're interested in these types of shows, there are quite a few interesting ones to take a look at.
Yep, and please let us know on the Facebook page which are your favorite ones to discuss.
Absolutely. So we should get into some of our own thoughts about The Guardians, the good and the bad, if you will, and see what we thought about it. So, Eamon, what did you like about The Guardians?
Well, we have to say that the writing and the dialogue and the ideas that go along with that, I think we both agree they're pretty top-notch for the most part through this show. It is a show about ideas. It is a show about dialogue and discussion, I think, more than action. But those parts of it, by and large, in nearly all the episodes, are very well done, I think, Brian.
Yes, I think the quality of the dialogue in this is very good. And we have lots of ideas being discussed. And on the level of, is this interesting and is it thought-provoking, I think every episode is solid. It does very well on discussing ideas and raising interesting ideas, having interesting dialogue and discussion about these dystopian ideas and questions that were important ones at the time, and gets into these somewhat World War II themed ideas of the fascism versus communism ideas. Lots of interesting stuff in the ideas and the dialogue here.
Okay, although I suppose we should say that if you're not into a show about discussion and dialogue, if you prefer something more action-driven, then this may not be the one for you. Personally, I found it quite interesting how much time this show was allowed back in the 1970s. That, you know, the episodes, as I say, run to over 50 minutes each. There's a lot of talking, 13 episodes. I wonder whether any television show would be given that sort of time now, just for this sort of debate. The only comparisons I could think of were some of the American political dramas, things like House of Cards and West Wing and so on. But, you know, they don't just get into the sort of stuff that's been talked about here. So, interesting show.
Yes, absolutely. I don't think television is made this way in just about any setting anymore. And that's too bad. This is a type of show that was really interesting and worth watching. And I think it's unfortunate that that's something that is not really part of the way things are done at this point.
Hmm. Okay, what about the cast, Brian? Any sort of standouts or any problems with any of the actors?
I didn't have any big problems with them, for sure. I thought some of them were very good. Certainly Cyril Luckham and Derek Smith as Sir Timothy Hobson and Mr. Norman. The two of them were spectacular in this. They were very good. And in this show, not every episode has every character in it. So the episodes that had the Prime Minister and Mr. Norman were always really gripping, and they were the episodes that I enjoyed the most. The other episodes could also be quite good, and were always interesting. Sometimes they weren't as gripping and didn't draw me in as much, but they were still very good. And certainly people like David Burke was also very good in this. Edward Petherbridge was good. Across the board, it was a good cast.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's amazing stuff, I think. And you've picked out the star performances, but right across the board, you've got people, you've got faces that'll be very familiar from 60s and 70s television, and they're all very good. It's a very well acted piece throughout. Yeah, absolutely gripping cast. So yeah, well done there. And as you say, Cyril Luckham and Derek Smith almost stealing the show in their exchanges.
That's right. But then the interesting thing is you have things like, there was one episode near the end of the run that had the two women sitting in a room having a conversation for a large chunk of the episode, and they were very good. It was, again, this really interesting, gripping conversation by these two characters who, for most of the show, were not that central to things.
Yes, that's right. They get their episode, and the actresses Gwyneth Powell and Lynn Farley, again, they hold their own in that episode and do a fantastic job. And the stuff they're discussing is, in a way, quite disturbing and unnerving.
Yes, absolutely. And there is sort of an overall arc to this show where we start by having sort of some more superficial ideas about what this version of England is like, and we get things like that wonderful episode with the discussion between Richard Herndl as the head of the EBC, their version of the BBC, and the Prime Minister. We have that discussion, and that's very good, but it's definitely at a point where we don't know as much about this world as we will later on. And in later episodes, when we get to some of the discussions that come up with Prime Minister Hobson and Norman, and with Chris Hobson, the Prime Minister's son, and with the two women, you know, a number of these different characters later on were sort of going to a much deeper, more complex place in this world and this set of ideas. So they really sort of leave no stone unturned in terms of talking about the ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Fascinating stuff.
Something like that makes it all ridiculous, doesn't it? Being a communist?
No, us sitting here talking about it. As if I can give answers about my life with Tom when I never even knew probably the most important thing about him. Why bother? What's the point?
We're human beings. So we bother. Even if we don't know all the facts.
What about the look and feel and the sound of the production, Brian? Anything to say about that? Mostly, I think, interiors, not an awful lot of exterior shooting. I presume that kept the budget down to reasonable levels. But it looks quite effective, I think.
Yeah, some of it was fairly basic set work, you know, done in, you know, sets that look like someone's living room or sitting room or something, and that's what it's supposed to be, and it's fine. But visually, what stands out is the look of the Guardians themselves and the marching and the opening titles and things like that. Those images are quite strong.
Yes, and well done. I mean, they don't have to use them very often, but the bits they do have are pretty well done. And as I say, quite disturbing to see these sort of uniformed figures marching on the streets of Britain.
Yes, absolutely. And we get into things like there were one or two episodes that dealt with the resistance running pirate radio systems, broadcasting, and the sort of dynamics of who was behind that and who was tracing it down and the Guardians. And we got into, you know, interesting ideas and interesting bits of how they were doing this and those kinds of things as well. So they keep pulling out different ideas in this that did some interesting things.
Okay. I wondered as I was going along whether there'd been any plans for a second series. Again, without discussing spoilers, we should say that there is a sort of story arc that concludes in the last episode. But I just wondered whether there had been at some point a plan to go on and do another series of The Guardians. Of course, we don't really have enough production notes to inform us on that.
Yes, if they had been planning to continue, I would think they must have known that that was not going to happen and that they were wrapping it up for the last 2 to 3 episodes or so, because it really does sort of come to an ending in those last few episodes, and that was quite nicely done.
Okay. Anything else about this show, in particular any bits that didn't work quite so well for you, Brian?
There were not that many things that really didn't work in this. What I would say is that it is a very heavy dialogue show, and some of the episodes, especially the ones that did not have Cyril Luckham and Derek Smith in them, felt a little bit long and a little bit slow at times. They were still always interesting and worth watching, but there were definitely some episodes that were not as compelling as others. Really, it's a show of a certain type, and if this type of show, this dialogue-heavy show that is very idea-driven, if that's for you, then it's something that you'll really appreciate, I think. If that's not so much for you, then you still might enjoy some of it, and some of it may not be as much your thing.
Okay, yes, it is, as you say, it's a talky show. If you can cope with a long show with a lot of talking, then it's one to check out. But if you're perhaps more into the action-orientated shows, you might want to think hard before going for this one.
Yes, absolutely. The action in this sort of punctuates things and just comes up occasionally. One thing I think we have to mention, and something that really quite surprised me for a show from 1972, is there was an episode with a same-sex relationship in this. And it was dealt with in a way that it was not something that was a problem for the characters or a problem in this society. It was just there, and it was used in such a way that it was really about telling us something about the characters involved and their situation and how they related one to another. So it was really interesting to see that, and it was something that I think was very well done.
Yes, it was extremely well done, almost because it's dealt with in such a matter-of-fact fashion. And here again, we have speculative fiction on television being quite progressive and far ahead of other sort of programmes that we'd see on television at the same time. I know we've talked about this when we've discussed some of Gerry Anderson's shows, and the progressive way they handled issues of sort of race and sex. And here's a same-sex relationship being portrayed in a sort of very sort of matter-of-fact, ordinary fashion in an early 70s show. So, yeah, well done to them.
Yes, absolutely. So we should get to our recommendations. I think you probably have a pretty good idea of where we're going with this. Eamon, you want to start?
Okay. Well, as I said, not a show I'd previously encountered before. Never heard of it before British Invaders. And it is fascinating. It's just great to see these sort of discussions of dystopia on British television and the sort of what if discussions. I think, you know, our listeners, as you say, Brian, will have gathered as we've gone along what the good and bad points of this show are. If you can handle a long show with a fairly long running time, most of which is discussion rather than action, then my recommendation would be, say, yes, get hold of this DVD before it becomes out of print, which I suspect is where it's headed, and check it out. And do please come back and let us know what you think. What about yourself, Brian?
Well, I'm definitely giving this a strong recommendation. It was a very good show. And yes, it is dialogue heavy and it's slow. And, you know, I know some people have issues with those types of things. But the dialogue is so strong in this and the ideas are so strong and it's always interesting. So I would definitely recommend this one.
Okay, so it's a definite thumbs up and a cautious thumbs up from myself. But as ever, if you've seen The Guardians, if you remember it from original broadcast, or if you go ahead and watch it after hearing our review, we'd be fascinated for you to come and tell us whether we've got it right or wrong. Please join us on the Facebook group and let us know.
Yes, absolutely. So, in summary, The Guardians was a 1970s series about a dystopian future version of England, where a fascist state had taken control and effectively a military dictatorship was in place, with this mysterious character, the General, controlling everything through the Guardians, who were like a military police force controlling just about everything in England. And this gave us lots of discussion and analysis of different ideas in a political way, dealing with fascism, dealing with communism, dealing with censorship, and issues like the death penalty, and dealing with all sorts of things in a very interesting, complex idea-based show with lots of interesting dialogue that leads to a very definitive conclusion in the last few episodes.
Okay, fascinating stuff, and certainly one that you may not have come across before. However, join us next time when we're going to talk about a show which I suspect many of you will have seen, because it's only from 4 years ago, 2010, a big BBC show with a big international cast. We're going deep underwater in The Deep, Brian.
Yes, that should be definitely a little different and a fun one to talk about. So you can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at BritishInvaders.com. We are part of the Geek Culture Network, so if you go to thegeekculturenetwork.com, you can find us there. We also have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us that way as well.
Yes, interesting discussions and occasional competitions and giveaways on the Facebook group, so good reasons to join. And also, join us on the Voice of Geek streaming internet radio at vognetwork.com, where you will find British Invaders on Mondays and Tuesdays, but you'll also find many other geek-related shows, some of which might take your fancy, and we welcome our VOG Network friends as ever.
Yes, absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed, and until next time, it's Eamon in England saying, Big Brother is still watching you.